News of tomorrow. All the news edited for easy listening, plus graphic on-the-scene reports by American Broadcasting Company correspondents. But first, let's run rapidly through the dispatches that have reached our New York newsroom up to this moment. The news of tomorrow. Lapeer, Michigan. State police report that the bodies of a 14-year-old boy and his three sisters have been found in a wooded area a few miles from their farm home. All four have been murdered. Washington. Government experts say that the long business upswing has been halted, and they predict a possible turn in the economic tide. Managua, Nicaragua. Apparently, the army has seized the Nicaraguan government, ousting President Arguello. It's reported that Arguello is being held prisoner in the presidential palace and that former President Somoza has seized power. More on this from Panama later. New Delhi. Mohandas K. Gandhi has lost the only foreign article he has permitted himself to use. It's a watch that dangled from his loincloth for 25 years. Lake Success, New York. Albania has complained to the United Nations that Greek warplanes attacked the Shepherd's Camp last week, killing two persons and wounding eight more. More on this in a moment. Mansfield, Ohio. Six young Ohio reformatory prisoners have escaped from prison in a stolen prison truck. The break took place while the county grand jury was making its first inspection of the institution. New York. A spectacular five-alarm fire has been raging in the American Sugar Refinery in Brooklyn. More on this later. Los Angeles. A former lieutenant colonel who served in Formosa has been arraigned on a charge of embezzlement of the United States and the Allies. William Kendrick Evans of Santa Barbara is charged with selling $100,000 worth of gold coins confiscated from the Japanese. Washington. The Senate has defeated a motion to delay action on the income tax bill. The bill to slash individual income taxes may become law this week. Albany, New York. A Congressional Medal of Honor winner, Christos Karaberis, who has been looking for a job for 2 years, started work today as a bus driver. Grandview, Missouri. President Truman says that his mother is slightly improved and that he's hoping for the best. The president is amazed at his mother's remarkable rally. Washington. The Agriculture Department says that spare stamp number 12 in consumer ration books may be used immediately. The third 1947 sugar rationing stamp, good for 10 pounds, will be validated not later than August 1st. Centralia, Illinois. All bar rooms in Centralia are closed tonight. The bartenders are on strike. Moscow. The Moscow radio reports that the Soviet Union has abolished capital punishment and substituted 25-year sentences in labor camps. Washington. President Truman asked Congress today to give him authority to supply arms to all Latin American nations and Canada, to train the men of their armies and navies, and to bring their equipment into standardization with that of the United States. New York. Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontan of theatrical fame celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary today by strolling through Central Park and holding hands while sitting on the same bench where they did their courting. Washington. The CIO has set out to sign up telephone workers in an effort to organize them on an industry-wide basis. The president of the Telephone Workers Independent Union, Joseph Byrne, will fight the attempt. As he puts it, we're not in any war with the CIO, but we'll combat this kind of stuff because it's silly. Detroit. The CIO, United Auto Workers Union, has asked its locals in the 40 Ford Motor Company plants whether they would like to take a strike vote. St. Paul. A 62-year-old retired businessman, reputed to be worth $500,000, has been discovered driving a cab. Frank Myers explains that he likes to meet people and hear their troubles. Raleigh, North Carolina. Governor R. Craig Cherry indicates that he will hold the abductors of Negro Godwin Bush on charges of mob violence when they are found. And the governor said tonight, I believe the perpetrators of this awful incident will be apprehended. Washington. Secretary of War Patterson has renewed an appeal for universal military training, saying that every day it is in force may save weeks and months of war. And that's the bulletin news. Now for some of the interesting details. Now this is Bill Crago in New York, ready to introduce ABC newsmen with on-the-scene reports. The dark mantle of censorship has blacked out Nicaragua tonight, but from neighboring countries come reports of a revolution. And by transcription from Panama City, we bring you correspondent Philip Payne with what is happening in Nicaragua.
Leonardo Arguello, the new president of Nicaragua, appears to have had a very, very short tenure of office. A little more than a month ago, President Anastasio Somoza of Nicaragua decided to run Arguello against himself in the elections. Arguello was elected. However, there seemed to be some doubt, even at the time, as to whether Arguello would take over, and if so, for how long. In fact, two cars, which were transshipped from here in Panama to Nicaragua for the inauguration ceremony, were addressed simply to the president of Nicaragua without specifying any names. This morning at 1 a.m., the Guardia Nacional of Nicaragua took over the situation, imprisoned Leonardo Arguello in the National Palace, and called a meeting of the National Assembly to accept Arguello's resignation, whether voluntary or not. As yet, the name of Anastasio Somoza has not come up in any of the news dispatches reaching here. But it seems likely that Somoza, who has commanded the National Guard, the Guardia Nacional, since its inception and training by U.S. Marines, is backing this revolution, if it can indeed be called a revolution. The excitement over this revolution here in Panama is something less than sensational. Afternoon papers are running only brief bulletins on the affair. And Nicaraguan officials here are uninformed. Pan American Airways stated that this morning, two airplanes had flown into and out of Managua without any difficulty and without any hint of trouble in that country. This is Philip Payne, reporting from Panama.
The Commerce Department has just issued a report indicating that the post-war business boom may be over. Tonight, ABC has asked its news bureaus in key industrial centers for a checkup on the business situation in each. To sum up their findings, here is Tris Coffin in Washington.
A messenger jogged into the newsroom at the Department of Commerce this afternoon and laid down a fat armful of releases. They were the kind of handouts that had to be read several times, put down, and thought over. The department, in cautious, formal words, said simply, "The upswing in business stopped in April. Business is still high, but a slow and gradual slump has started." By coincidence, there was also an economic story in the shiny marble Federal Reserve building several blocks down Constitution Avenue. The Federal Reserve Bulletin reported, also in cautious language, that a moderate drop in operations or prices would strike profits more than wages. The analysis stated profits have risen sharper in the high peak than any other shares of income. Tonight, ABC correspondents across the nation have been gathering facts from business leaders. The New York report has the atmosphere of a gentle twilight gloom. The stock exchange trading today was the lightest in 10 months. Business in the greater New York area is suffering from what is called distorted prices. The clothing industry is particularly faced with consumer resistance, and this in turn has led to unemployment in the garment trades. Joblessness in New York has increased 150,000 in the past 3 months. The nightclubs are feeling the pinch. Buyers are turning to credit to stretch their purchasing power. In Detroit, the report is that expansion is not ended, but postponed because of the high cost of labor and materials. From Chicago come outraged denials that business is falling off. The buyers are merely more discriminate. From the West Coast, the reports have a rosy, happy glow. In San Francisco, business is down a little, but still very sound. The coast is going ahead on expansion needed because of population shifts bringing more buyers. The Federal Reserve 12th District says the rate of business increase is still upwards, but slower. In Hollywood, it is difficult to interest manufacturers in exporting because the local market keeps them busy. This is Tris Coffin reporting from Washington.
Hundreds of Ohio police are searching tonight for six desperate prison breakers. For a first-hand report, we switch you to station WJW in Cleveland and correspondent Stan Payton.
Late this afternoon, a prison break occurred at the Ohio Reformatory for Men in Mansfield, Ohio, that had all the earmarks of a movie scenario. A terse announcement on the escape merely said that six men had kidnapped a guard and sped away in an institution truck. But behind that announcement lay more, and the full story still is not known. What is known is that six young men who were all employed in the reformatory tin shop escaped through a combination of circumstances that reflected careful planning on their part. The six men, acting on a prearranged signal, suddenly overpowered their lone guard, unarmed. He was identified as David Robinson. The six men forced Robinson to accompany them by threats of violence. They pushed the guard into one of the institution trucks, and then they casually drove up to the outside gate, called on the wall guard to open the gate. The wall guard, seeing nothing remiss, opened the gate and the six prisoners made good their getaway. It is not known if the men were armed or how they forced the guard to signal for the gate to be opened. Arthur L. Glatke, prison superintendent, said it was not unusual for a truckload of men from the tin shop, accompanied by a guard, to drive from the grounds to repair roofs on farm buildings which the reformatory operates. Only four of the escaped prisoners were immediately identified. Identity of the other two was not disclosed. The Ohio State Patrol and Richland County Sheriff's Office began immediately to set up roadblocks to halt the truckload of fleeing convicts. The patrol said the fugitives were last seen in the area of Tiffin and were still wearing their white prison garb and driving the green reformatory truck. The guard apparently still was being held prisoner. Well, if they're no more successful than others who've made the attempt before them, their liberty will be short-lived indeed. This is Stan Payton reporting from Cleveland.
The Balkan Peninsula, eternal cauldron, has exploded again. Here is ABC's New York correspondent, Julian Anthony, with a report on the latest Balkan sensation to reach the UN.
Not long ago, in Geneva, Switzerland, the UN's Balkan Investigating Commission announced its split decision in which the majority criticized Albania and two neighbor countries for aiding Greek guerrillas against the Greek government. Before long, the Balkan Commission may have to consider an Albanian complaint against Greece, filed here tonight with the UN Secretary General Trygve. The complaint comes in a letter from Albanian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Hoxha. It charges that 43 Greek aircraft raided an Albanian shepherd's camp last week, killing two persons and wounding eight, as well as killing nearly 50 cattle. The Albanian official characterizes the incident as a Greek attempt to manufacture bloody arguments in order to guarantee a Security Council decision to maintain a constant UN patrol in the Balkans. UN officials here say that they are not certain how the Albanian complaint will be handled, particularly since it did not appear to be a formal complaint seeking a Security Council decision. The decision will be left up to Security Council members with the possibility that the Albanian protest will be handed over to the Balkan Commission. This is Julian Anthony reporting from New York.
And now this is Bill Crago again with the headline summary, the news of tomorrow. Government says business upswing has ended. Army revolts overthrows president of Nicaragua. Ohio police hunt six desperate fugitives in prison break. Army colonel is arrested for stealing $100,000 in gold. Senate defeats motion to delay vote on tax cut. Agriculture Department makes number 12 sugar stamp good at once. Russia does away with capital punishment. Those are the headlines, and that's the news of tomorrow. And now your local announcer with a weather forecast of tomorrow. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and cooler, highest temperature in upper 60s, the present midtown Manhattan temperature 65 degrees, humidity 59%, wind velocity 19 miles per hour from the southwest, barometer reads 29.96 inches and is steady. Listen again tomorrow and every night at the same time to your American Broadcasting Company station for news of tomorrow. Bill Crago reporting. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.